Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
I want you to do me a favor. We're going to hear a testimony right now. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Turn there in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a testimony I want to share with you today to encourage you of someone who knows how to kill giants. A testimony of killing giants. That's what I'm believing is going to happen here today. Before we leave, there's going to be some testimonies of some people that are killing giants. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read a few verses to you. If you are familiar with your Bible, Old Testament, you may be familiar with this account here, this testimony of a young boy named David who killed Goliath the giant. And the Lord put this on my heart throughout this past week, going into the weekend. And I really feel like there's something here the Lord wants to encourage us with to build our faith, that we would have a testimony in our own life where we are killing those giants that are trying to attack us and take us out. So in 1 Samuel 17:1, I want to read to you there. It says that the Philistines had now mustered their army for the battle and camped between Succoth in Judah and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. Saul countered them, the Philistines being enemies of God. Saul, who was the king then at that time of God's people, he countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. And then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, that was the land of the giants, Gath was, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. Goliath, the Bible says he was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder, and the shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Father, would you just bless the preaching of your word? I need your anointing right now, Lord, in so many ways. So, Lord, please touch me. And God, touch your people to open their hearts and ears to what the Spirit would want to say today. And we pray that, Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Amen. I've been crying a little with happy tears, and now my nose is running. Giants are in all of our lives. There are times when you're going to serve the Lord and you are going to encounter some giants in your life. We can all testify to some of the giants that we have had to face in our life. There is the giant of fear. And the enemy loves to use fear to paralyze us and freeze us from moving in what God would want for our life, for our family. There is the giant of temptations, where the enemy will use this giant to come at you with these temptations to take you back into some addictions and strongholds that were destroying your life. He will send those giants in your life to try to tempt you to go back. There's the giants of doubt, and there's the giants of discouragement and worry. And we don't minimize any issue that people walk through, but we can all testify that there's some things that we just kind of face each day. And then at times there's these giant issues that come at us in our life. It might be a giant issue for your family, something with a spouse or something with one of your children or grandchildren. It might be a giant issue in the relationship in your marriage. It might be a giant health issue, or, you know, we think of physical issues, but the emotional side of who you are, there can be emotional issues that are giants that will try to destroy you, giant financial issues. If these giants that come at us, if they're not destroyed and defeated, killed, they can rob you of your peace, your joy, your hope in Jesus Christ. They can work and rob you and try to kill your faith to believe what God is able to do in your life. And I believe this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to show us a few things on how we, God's people, can kill these giants before they take us out. Now, in verse 1 that I read to you, the Bible says that the Philistine army, which was the enemies to God, they had actually, the Bible says, depending on what translation you read, it says they were camped in Sukkah of Judah. And Judah should be a name that you're familiar with if you're reading your Bible, because Judah is actually God's territory. Judah belongs to God. Judah is territory that was actually allotted to God's people through a covenant promise made by God himself. So Judah is God's territory. It belongs to God. But here we find that the enemy has invaded God's territory. And it just reminds me when I read that not only is it an enemy that has invaded, but it's the giant. He's over 9 feet tall, and he's dressed in the latest armor, the latest warfare. He has the weapons of warfare. He's intimidating. And it just says to us that if we're not careful, we can see how giants will attempt to invade and terror and intimidate your life. And they will. I don't care who you are. Giants will do everything they can to come at you. The enemy will send them to you to invade your life, to intimidate your life. How many of you can testify to that? But we need to remember that this is territory that belonged to God, that the people of God actually fought for that land. And we need to remember today, and I said it last Sunday, and I say it again, it's worth repeating, you belong to God. That land was God's territory, and you belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. You are God's territory. In fact, the Bible says you are God's temple. But for whatever reason, the enemy has invaded, and he's brought intimidation, and he's causing confusion in your life, and he's causing conflict in you, in your life, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. He's invaded, creating conflict, causing you to fear, just like he did Saul and the army. He's causing you to fear because he's invaded, and now he has robbed you of your peace. He's robbed you of your praise. He's robbed your joy. He's robbed your hope. And today, I feel it with all of my heart that through the Holy Spirit, he wants to remind you that today is the day that God says it's time to kill those giants that are robbing you, that are invading you, that are intimidating you. Now, the Bible says that every day, in fact, it says twice a day, every day for 40 days, Goliath would come out standing over 9 feet tall, and he would just intimidate. And that's what the enemy does. He stood there and he shouted. The Bible says that he shouted across and he taunted them, the Israelites, saying to them, Why are you all coming out to fight? I'm the Philistine champion. But listen to what he says. You're only the servants of Saul. He's trying to, the enemy will try to minimize who you are, but he also tries to minimize who you serve. And he's trying to minimize who they are. And he says, choose one man to come down and fight me. And then you heard, if he kills me, we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. And the giants want to invade your life. They want to intimidate you. They want you to live in bondage. The giants will come so you will live as a slave to fear. And in verse 10, it says that Goliath said to them, he's shouting to them, he's standing over them, he's invaded their land, he's intimidating them, and with his shouts, he says, I defy the armies of God today. Send me a man that will fight me. And it reminds me that the devil and the giants, the devil will send your way. They're always going to be trying to shout at you, trying to be louder, and so that's all you hear. And the giant here was shouting, and I can only imagine the shouts, how it intimidated them and just said to them, those on the other side, God's people, that shout coming from the giant that I'm about to take you out. Shouting the intimidation, shouting the lies, I'm about to take you out. Shouting, you don't stand a chance, just give up. Shouting, it's never going to change. Shouting, it's never going to work out. It's just too messed up. Shouting, it's too hopeless. Just give in, just give up. And they bought in, God's people, they bought into that lie. They allowed the enemy to invade them, intimidate them, because in verse 11, it says that Saul and the Israelites, they were terrified and they were deeply shaken. Have you ever been terrified and deeply shaken? You ever been afraid? I don't know if I've been that afraid, but I remember a few times I've been afraid. I remember one night, and I may have told this story before some time ago, but I can't remember. But I do know, like, maybe it was years ago, Lucas wasn't even born. Caden was a little fella. He had spent the night off at his grandma's. It was like 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And there was home invasions going on around during that time, people being robbed and all kinds of stuff. And Lisa and I were home, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, we had some intruders come to our house and came to the door there, the front. They were trying to come through the front door. And I remember now as Lisa, she was either locked in the bathroom, in the bedroom, or in the closet calling 911. And I was in the middle of the living room. We had three doors in our house, the front door, a door that came in by the garage, and the back door. And I had positioned myself there with a gun, and I was like, Lord, help me, Jesus. But thank God I didn't have to shoot anybody. But I just remember being afraid. I probably would have missed because I was shaking. I know what some of you, the preacher's got a gun. Yeah, the preacher's got a gun. More than one. Amen. Bless him, Jesus. Sometimes, though, when you're afraid like that, when you hear the enemy, he's on the other side. He's invaded your house. He's invaded your territory. And he's shouting these lies to you. You can be paralyzed with fear. You can be afraid. And they were deeply shaken. And listen, I'll admit to you, I've been there before. Spiritually allowing these things to just look bigger than what God is. And the next thing you know, you're walking shaken. You're walking in fear. And that's what happens when you allow the voices of the giants to invade our minds. And that's what happens when we buy into his lies. And what happens is fear takes over and we become slaves to fear. And listen to this, for 40 days, they were held captive by fear. But God, there they are. The enemy has invaded their territory. The enemy is intimidating them, but God. It reminds me that anytime we're in a battle, that God makes a way through it. He makes a way, and this way that he made through it was by sending a young giant killer, who was a teenage boy named David. And David was a nobody. David was a nobody to Saul's army. In fact, if you read on through chapter 17, it's like Saul was asking his the captain of his army, Abner. He said, who is this boy? He was a nobody to Saul. He was a nobody to this giant, but he was somebody to God. And they didn't know who David was, but David was a giant killer. In fact, if you read in verse 50 and 51, I'll skip some verses because you're going to go back this week and read chapter 17. But listen to what it says about David. He shows up on the scene, and the Bible says in verse 50 and 51 that David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used Goliath's sword to kill him and cut off his head. David was a giant killer. David was a giant killer, and David shows us how we can be a giant killer and kill the giants in our lives. So follow with me. If you're writing things down, please write these things down here I'm about to share with you. Giant killers, notice this first. Giant killers have a heart for God. Giant killers have a heart for God, a heart to follow Jesus, a heart to serve the Lord. David was a giant killer because he had a heart for God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. You remember reading that in your Bible? He was a man after God's heart. In other words, he had a heart that was pursuing the Lord, trusting in the Lord. And David was a giant killer because he had a heart for God. A heart for God is a chosen heart. Write that down. It's a chosen heart. David was, he was anointed by Samuel. He was appointed by the Lord to eventually be king over Israel. In other words, he was chosen. David was chosen by God to kill this giant. Look at the whole army of Israel. There they are. Any man could have said, use me. Here I am. But no, God had chose this young teenage boy. He had anointed him, appointed him, and chosen him to come and be that giant killer. And that's what he was. He was chosen by God. And can I remind you this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are chosen by God. You are chosen by God. You are chosen. Amen. Go ahead and clap for the Lord. Amen. You are chosen by God. You're chosen to be a son and a daughter of the living God. You are chosen to be a warrior in the army of God. You are chosen to fight the good fight of faith. You are chosen with your life to bring glory and honor to God with every battle that you face in your life. Hallelujah. A man that's after God's own heart, a giant killer, is going to have a heart for God. And it's going to be a chosen heart because God is the one that has chosen you. He's chosen you to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He has chosen you. And not only does he have a chosen heart, but he also has a confident heart. A confident heart. What do I mean by that? I mean that he had faith. David had faith. He had a confident faith. That this was the Lord's battle. He even says that. This is the Lord's battle. He was confident and he was trusting in the Lord. In fact, if you read in some other places when David was writing some songs in the Psalms, he had a confident heart that he was trusting in the Lord. He would sing that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He had a confident heart that this was the Lord's battle. And when your heart is confident in the Lord, then you will realize that God is bigger than any giant you're going to face in your life. You're confident. And don't miss this now, because a confident heart does not deny that there is a giant. Some of you are facing some giants right now, and the giants are real. You can't. Listen, you have a confident heart in God, but the giants are real. Yeah, you see the giant. Yeah, you hear the giant. But when you have confident heart in the Lord, you know that your God is greater. Your God is fighting the battle for you, and he's going to bring the victory over whatever it is that you're facing in your life. Hallelujah to that. You're confident. You're confident that the Lord is fighting your battles. And that's what we need to remember this morning, is that we need to have a heart that is chosen, knowing that we belong to God. He's called us, and that he gives us a confident heart that no matter what we face, we're not denying it. I'm not denying that the enemy, the giant you're facing right now, is not real. He's real. But I know one thing, my God is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is of this world. He is greater. That's what a confident heart says. That's what a confident heart sees in the spiritual. I see the giant. I hear him shouting. I see him invading things around me in my life. But I'm confident that I belong to the Lord, and he's going to give the victory. Lord, let it be so. Giant killers have a heart for God, And giant killers also have a history with God. David had a history with God, a history with God. You remember when he came forward and he's like, hey, I'll go fight the giant. And everybody, I mean, even Saul's like, you're just a young boy. You're just a young boy. You can't fight this giant. And David goes back to his history. And he says, listen, I looked out for the flocks of my father, and at times there would be lions and bears that would attack them. He says, but I would go after them with a club, and I would rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I'll catch it by the jaw, and I'll club it to death. And I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear, he's going to rescue me from this Philistine. Hallelujah. Amen. He had a history with the Lord. God had done some great things in his life, and he was recalling, he was looking back. I have a history with God. And friend, listen to me this morning. I don't care who you are, how long you've been serving the Lord. You have a history with the Lord. You have a history with the Lord. Come on, he's done some great things in your life. He's done some great things in your past. When you look back, you can see where the hand of God has been working time and time again. When you look back, you can see that God has given you victory over battle, over battle, over battle. You look back and you see that if God did it then, God can do it in my future, and I'm going to trust him to fight my battles. My history with the Lord reminds me that the Lord is my protector. Come on, do you think about that? How many times has he protected you? You look back and you see the great things that God has done, and you say, my history tells me that God is my protector. He's my provider. He's the giver of my peace. He is my helper. He's my healer. Listen, I can look back over my history and know that God reminds me that he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. My history reminds me that his grace is sufficient, and he gives me strength that I can do all things through Christ, and reminds me, my history does, that all things are possible with God, and nothing's too hard for him. And listen to this, my history, because David was just getting started in what God had planned for his life. My history with the Lord tells me that he is faithful and he is still writing my story. Hey, he is still writing your story. I know there's a giant. We see him. He's invaded. We hear him taunting. We hear him threatening us. But we know by history that God is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to protect us. He's going to make a way forward. And he is still writing your story. Amen. The God that you serve is going to complete the good work he began in you, as the Bible says. Praise God. Now my forehead running water. The last one here. Giant killers have a history with God, but they also have a heroic determination from God. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, in verse 40, we see that David had a heroic determination to kill this giant. I know this because the Bible says in verse 40 that David, he had tried on Saul's armor. That was not going to work. So he picked up 5 smooth stones, and then he picked up his shepherd's staff and a sling. David killed Goliath with one stone, took him out. He took the giant out with one stone, but he picked up 5. Now, when I read that, and I've read it before, I'm like, why in the world, if it only took one, why did he pick up 5? And you can read behind different scholars and you'll hear different versions of why he picked up 5. And I heard somebody say that he had brothers. And that's one of the thoughts there, that maybe there was other giants that might would come. But I like to believe this one here, that David picked up 5 because he was determined to kill this giant. He had a heroic determination. In other words, he picked up 5 because if the first one didn't work, he had a second one to go to. And if the second one didn't work, he had a third one to go to. And if that one didn't work, he had another one to go to. And if that one didn't work, he had another one to go. In other words, I don't care how many times it takes. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to fight this giant until he is dead. Hallelujah. He was resilient. David had he had a heroic determination because he was resilient. Write that down. Yeah, listen, when I was studying, the R's just kept coming to me. The R's. He was resilient. It takes resilience to have a heroic determination. That I don't care how many times this giant tries to invade me, I don't care how many times he tries to intimidate me, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to pray without ceasing, I'm going to believe for the miracle, and I'm going to keep fighting until this giant falls. So he had resilience. And I want you to notice too that his heroic determination came because he was focused on the reward. There's your other R. He was focused on the reward. What was the reward? Do you remember in the story? When you go back and do your homework, you'll see it. The reward was wealth. The reward was that if you kill this giant, Saul, whoever goes out there and kills this giant, you'll be able to marry my daughter. And have you seen her? I can't even whistle. You'll be able to marry my daughter because she's beautiful. And then not only that, but you're going to be exempt from taxes for life. And I'd have been like, I don't care what she looks like. Sign me up. Lord help him. But notice this. When you read 1 Samuel 17, and I picked up on this, David, instead of focusing in on the giant, David focused on the reward, because Saul announces to them what the reward is, and then David asks again, tell me again what I'm going to get if I kill this giant? And so they repeat it, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe there's another time before it's over with, they refer to the reward again. So almost three times, instead of focusing in on the risk and focusing in on the giant, David focuses on the reward. And that tells me that no matter what giants we face in our life, we need to make sure we stay focused on the reward. And what is that? Victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's the eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a home in heaven. Praise God. Listen, friend, I don't care what size the giant is, how he's invaded your life, how intimidating he is. You need to make sure you focus on the reward. And the reward is you have a relationship with Jesus. You have victory through him for what he did for you through the cross. You know that you have eternal life, you have a home in heaven, and we win. So that's the reward. Yesterday afternoon, it might have been still in the morning, I can't remember, I was traveling in a vehicle with Haywood. And Haywood, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we got around Kinston. And an old beat up church van was pulling out over there by where the baseball team plays at. And I mean, when I say beat up, it was in pretty bad shape. It looked like on the side there was at a stop sign, and it was pulling out kind of in front of us. And the lettering on the side was just, I mean, it was nasty. It was all faded. But then when he turned in front of us, there was something written on the back that won't fade it. And it was in bold, bold letters. And it said, "We win, we win." And I was like, man, you remember seeing that? Praise God that you focus on the reward, no matter what we're going through. That you focus not on the giant, not on the risk, but you focus on the reward. We win. We win. It's win-win. We win. To God be the glory. And David was focused on the reward. And then there's another R. David had a heroic determination because he rejoiced in the Lord. The Bible says that when the giant fell, that the Philistine army, they began to retreat and they began to run away, and the Israelite army began to run toward them to take them out, and they were shouting. Where were they at earlier? They were shouting, and it just tells me that when the Lord does a work on your behalf, you need to be ready to rejoice and shout praises to God. God gave you the victory. God brought you through it. God made a way for you. You need to make sure you're shouting and rejoicing in the Lord at all times. Come on, you need to rejoice for what God has done for you. You can rejoice because I know some of you right now, you said, you know what? I thought it was over. I'm rejoicing because I thought it was over, but God. I'm rejoicing because I thought I couldn't make it, but God. I'm rejoicing because I thought I was going to have a breakdown and beat down and I was going to be taken down, but God brought me out of that. And you need to rejoice at all times, giving God the praise that he is the one that is defeating the giants in your life as you go forward in whatever battles that you have in your life. David rejoiced. The people of God rejoiced. Friend, I know it's not easy right now. I know you may have questions. I know the giant may have brought conflict and confusion. But all I can say to you is just like the enemy told me here on this front seat while ago, was trying to suppress me. You are not going to win. I am going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice for all that you're doing in my life. You can come with all of hell, but we're going to rejoice and give God praise and give him the glory that he deserves. Amen. And then finally here, David ran in the name of the Lord. Some of you won't run unless somebody's chasing you. He ran in the name of the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, there's power in the name of Jesus. David said to this giant, he says, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And listen to this. It hit me this morning. He said to him, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And the rest of these folks here, we're going to feed them to the wild animals. And this morning it hit me in verse 46. Today, say today. Amen. Today the Lord will conquer you. Listen to me, church. Don't be afraid to face your giants. And you can declare to them that I stand before you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. I stand before you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, today, the Lord's going to conquer you. In the name of Jesus, you are not going to defy my God. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to defy my life. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to defy my body. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to defy my children, my wife, my marriage. You're not going to defy this church. You're not going to call me to be a slave to fear. You're not going to steal my peace, my joy, my hope. You're not going to defy me. This is the day, the Lord's battle, and he's going to conquer you in the name of Jesus. And the whole world, David said, the whole world will know there is a God. Hallelujah. The whole world. In other words, there's going to be a testimony. There's going to be a testimony. David had heroic determination. And I believe this morning that God wants to give you heroic determination, that you would have victory over whatever giants that are facing you. And the reason why, one is because he loves you, and another is because he wants his name to be glorified over this earth, that there would be a testimony. Pastor Kevin, if you want to come, brother, thank you. I believe this morning that the Lord wants to remind you that your giant battle is the Lord's battle. Your giant battle is the Lord's battle. Please hear me. We're getting ready to move right now into the most important part of this service, where you respond and move closer to God. But you need to know this, that Jesus is fighting for you. He's fighting for you. He's already won the victory. We fight from the cross. The victory has already been won. You understand that, right? Jesus is fighting for you, and he's also fighting with you. And that reminds me that no matter what I'm facing in my life, no matter how big it is, God is bigger and God is with me. He's with me. And I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. He's my warrior. He's not only a warrior, he's mighty warrior. He's defender. He's my shield. He's my strong tower. He's my savior. Jesus is my everything. He needs to be your everything. Jesus is your very present help in times of trouble. Jesus. Not a pastor, not a church. Jesus. And he wants to fight your battle today. I want to ask you this question before we pray. I wonder, just asking here, what giants What giants have invaded your life and have intimidated you, and some have, these giants have caused you to become a slave to fear, anxiety, depression, stress? What giants have invaded your life? And my question is, how long are you going to put up with the intimidation? I mean, I'm telling you right now, I mean, I'm just as guilty as I would say some that I'm referring to now, just the, you know, the vicious cycle where you kind of, you just, you know, you want to change, you need to help to get defeat and victory over this giant. You want to kill this giant, but it's just like a cycle. You just keep going over and over and over again, and you just keep allowing it to intimidate you. And I've been there. And some of you are there now. It's just always there. And I'm saying, how long are you going to put up with it? Hey, today, the Lord is going to conquer you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What weapons do you have? What weapons do you have? Well, I'll tell you what you have. The Bible says we have the armor of God. We have the weapon of the word. We have the weapon of prayer. We have the weapon of praise. But the weapons are no good if you don't pick them up. David had to pick up the stones. He had to pick up the sling. What good is the weapons if you don't pick them up? The Lord's saying, you got to pick them up. Pick them up and you run forward, rejoiced and focused on the reward, with a resilient heart, with a chosen heart, with a confident heart. Remember what I've done. You run toward that giant, and today the Lord is going to conquer that giant for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Would you bow your head right there where you are? Nobody looking around, nobody looking around. It could be right here in this moment, friend, that the giant that is staring you down is the giant of sin. The giant of sin that has separated you from God. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the free gift of God is the eternal life through Jesus Christ. Friend, you may need to pick up the weapon of repentance right now and repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come on. That might be the very, very first thing you need to do, is to repent and receive Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord, knowing that what He did for you on the cross, He did it for you, He did it for me, shedding His blood so our sins could be forgiven. He died, He was buried on the third day, He was raised from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. Jesus is alive, and He's our victorious warrior, our mighty warrior, our defender, our strong tower, our shelter, our Savior. I hope He's that for you right now. If He's not, you can just make a decision right here in this moment to say, today is the day of salvation for me, and by faith, I turn from my sins. I repent, and I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins, that I would be born again spiritually and have new life in you, and I will follow you here and all the way forward until we get to heaven. And I just give my life to you right here in this moment. If that's you, do it right now. Do it right now. Make that your prayer. I surrender my life to Jesus. I repent.